Morning Edition continues. I'm Kevin Willis. Unlike some Caribbean countries, Cuba does not have the reputation of being a high-crime nation. It was something WKU sociology professor Jim Canaan wanted to investigate as he went to Cuba last May as part of a faculty seminar from the university. WKU Public Radio's Emil Moffitt continues our series exploring Cuba.
In the morning, the Malecón, a sidewalk that runs along the seawall on the northern tip of Havana, is full of runners, walkers, and fishermen. At night, it turns into a hangout full of young people drinking and singing until the wee hours of the morning.
At one point, I was walking all by myself along one of the more, popular places, the Malecón, the seawall, and it was packed with people, and I remember thinking, this in another context would make me nervous, but I don't feel it here. And so that was it was a nice confirmation of what I was kind of anticipating.
Jim Canaan's main focus of study is on violent crime. So when it was announced that WKU would be focusing its International Year Of on Cuba this year, his interest was piqued. How has Cuba avoided the drug crime and violence that has befallen other Caribbean countries? As with everything in Cuba, the perception comes with an asterisk.
You have to qualify all this by saying we don't know for sure what Cuba's violent crime rates are because they don't release those data. They don't tell us. I don't even know if they count. I am assuming they do, but I don't know that they do. They don't keep it as carefully as we do.
So Canaan has had to rely on data gathered from the outside, like from the U.S. State Department, and his firsthand observations this summer.
Just interacting with the people the whole time I was walking around, I never felt confronted by someone. I never felt like they perceived me as a threat, and I didn't perceive them that way. And so I think that's part of a cultural position on violence, which is interesting given that the country's revolution was a violent revolution.
There are many theories as to why the violent crime rate is low in Cuba. Some credit community neighborhood organizations known as CDRs for keeping the peace. Canaan points to a mindset that he observed.
There's an amazing book about a high crime area in Philadelphia called Code of the Streets by a brilliant scholar named Elijah Anderson. And he talks about how violence is a means of trying to establish status, and it's a zero-sum game. And to gain your respect, your heart, they call it on the street, you've got to take it from somebody else. I don't get that sense in the neighborhoods, in the barrios, in the areas of Havana or the other parts of Cuba.
Places like the eastern Havana community of Alomar, originally a Soviet-style housing project, a ferry trip across Havana Bay to Regla, and 2 hours away in Cienfuegos, where hundreds gathered each night to check their phones at an internet hotspot along the busy main street through town, the Paseo El Prado.
In some respects, there is a little bit, I think, of kind of looking out for each other. The people from Cienfuegos, I thought, were very proud of Cienfuegos as a community. We're very proud that Cienfuegos is a safe place for people to come, for tourists or for others to come.
And with tourism a key to building the economy, maintaining a safe Cuba is likely to encourage more visitors from around the world. On Tuesday, following the Labor Day holiday, we conclude our series with a look at a pastime shared by the U.S. and Cuba, baseball. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Emil Moffitt.
Our special series is part of the Zaher Sophia Endowed International Faculty Seminar, in which WKU faculty members focus on a different country each year as part of the International Year Of program.